Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Grapes. I'm your host, Alex Blavatsky, and everything sucks. The conglomeration just won, and they're shaking the hands of Undisputed Kingdom. So I Undisputed Kingdom's turning babyface? Undisputed Kingdom's turning babyface, so when Adam Cole comes back, they can still be together, and Adam Cole can be babyface. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Okay. Okay. Mercedes is talking right now. So can we please announce Statlander versus Camille at the pay-per-view, please? To give us a second women's match on the card. Tony? Tony? Statlander versus Camille at the Pape, right? We're doing that, yes? Okay. Camille just being silently intimidating is a very good thing. I like that. Oh, the Acclaimed are here. Awesome. Mute. Okay. Very quickly, SmackDown is so fucking frustrating right now. Oh, look, MXM comes out to attack them. MXM. And yes, beat the hell out of him, Mace. Mace, beat the hell out of him. Like, they're tearing the jacket up. The jacket that they themselves reconfigured. Oh, and he's using it to crossface him or something. Kill him! Kill him! Get rid of the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed are so bad and I hate them. I like Anthony Bowens, but only if he's nowhere near Max Caster. Also, Billy Gunn should retire and then... I don't know, he could be like a geriatric men's magazine model. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? Come on, guys. What are you going to say? Come on, let's go. Why are you all booing? This is amazing. Stop booing. Stop booing. This is amazing. MXM is great. Tom LaValle says, I want that MXM dress shirt now. It is a pretty cool dress shirt. I agree with you, Tom LaValle. I would like that. That's right. That's right. Mansoor, you lay into him. Yeah. Tomorrow night, Wrestle Dream. Oh. MXM versus Acclaimed at Wrestle Dream. MXM's going to win. Because if they don't, I'll have a heart attack on air. I will, because I'll be so mad. MXM's going to beat him, right? MXM's going to win, right? Oh. Oh, MXM's going to have a third man. Who's the third man? Oh, yes, do that. Kill scissoring and bury it once and for all. Who's going to be the third man? Ooh, Dijak. Dijak would be great. I hope it's Dijak. Mustafa Ali, I don't think so. It would be nice, but I don't think it's going to be him. Dijak would be great. It's got to be a big guy to counteract Billy Gunn. It's got to be a big guy. I want it to be Dijak. I need it to be Dijak. It's thankfully, I don't believe it will be Hogan. I don't believe it will be Hogan. Hey, look, are we going to get a Look at this. Statlander says she made a mistake in turning heel, which explains why she turned face. I guess. Oh, it was Stokely's wrong. Stoke. Oh. So, you know what? Good for them for retconning. Good for them for trying to retcon her into actually being a babyface now. I mean, I don't know. No, the lawsuit is good. That the lawsuit basically lets you know that that Stoke is entirely at fault. So, hey, listen, guys, Stokely's very good on screen, but at some point, the only thing that there is in common with all of the stop-start stuff with Stokely is Stokely. I'm not saying, like, for sure that it Stokely is the one getting in the way of any progression. But I'm saying it's possible, which would suck, because I think he's incredibly talented. But every time something starts to get going with him, it falls apart. And I don't know. I don't believe everybody he's working with is the problem, because that would be too many people. So I don't know what it is. If it's management, then management is doing it wrong. But if it's Stoke, then Stoke has only Stoke to blame. So, you know what I mean? SmackDown, very frustrating. Jimmy comes out. Everyone's like, welcome back, Jimmy. We love you now because you're a good guy, I guess. Then Roman Reigns comes out and everyone's like, yes, we all love Roman Reigns now because we have all of this proof of Roman Reigns having turned over a new leaf. No, we don't. He just hates Solo Sikoa. And is, like, I guess a smart enough guy to, like, team with Cody to get one up on Solo? Solo attacked Jimmy, who was a loyal soldier to Roman. Solo attacked Paul Heyman, who was Roman's wise man. Roman hates Solo. But Roman is, like, there's no evidence that he's a different guy now. This is not. So I don't know why we love him without them doing something to make us love him. But they haven't done anything to make us love him because they suck at this. So Jimmy says, we need somebody and there's only one guy we can turn to. And the crowd starts going, yeet, yeet, yeet. Because it's obvious that one guy should be Jey Uso. But I really thought, and part of me wanted this, is for Jimmy to have to ad-lib and go, oh, no, I mean, he would be great too, but I was thinking about Cody Rhodes because Cody Rhodes is the only guy we can trust. I really thought they were going to do that, but I'm glad they didn't. Cody has more things to deal with right now, so I'm glad that, you know, they're going to... I mean, I hate the yeet thing, but Roman also hates the yeet thing because he said no yeet. He says no yeet. You know? So Roman and I have that in common, I guess. Also, our long, luxurious hair and our physique. Roman Reigns and I have three things in common. We both hate the yeet. We both have long, luxurious, beautiful black hair. And we both are carved out of granite. Three things in common. So backstage, Jimmy's like, hey, Cody Rhodes, I respect you. And that's basically all this was. So, okay. Oh, look, Rocky Romero is going to face somebody from the learning tree. Won't that be great? Oh, no, it's the exact same thing. The exact thing I said was going to happen after on Tuesday. Rocky, I hope you win. Mark Briscoe's not here. That's more than one word. No! No! He says, I need a word of the day. Kyle O'Reilly says, I need a word of the day. And the word of the day, Rocky Romero says, the word of the day is, you guys stay back here and I'm going to handle business. And that's way more than one word. Kyle O'Reilly should have just said, that's more than one word. Okay. So, Statlander is in action, which means this will be very fast. So hopefully I can get back to hating SmackDown. Amira. So Amira. Amira is going to face the Statlander, the Christina Statlander, who runs in with a giant European uppercut in the corner and a knee to the face. Just bring her right in there, and then a stalling suplex, because my God, she's very statuesque, isn't she? She's as statuesque as Michelangelo's David, minus the penis. So then we're gonna pick her up here. You gotta pick up Amira. Amira fighting back with forearms to the jaw, but Statlander says no to you. I'll pick you up, and then she's going to try one of those little, those thingies. And then, no, I'm sorry. No, now we're just going to go ahead and pile drive you. That's a 1-2-3. And the Statlander pins Amira. She tried one of those dooly-doos that goes around a whirling dervish, whatever they call it. But Statlander blocked it, so that's all for Amira. Sorry, sweetheart. Back to the gym with you. All right. Make the match. Stop. Fucking Jericho's talking. Could this night get any worse? Okay, so Larry Knight had a match versus Melo, with Andrade sitting at ringside. It was very good. Knight's he's underrated in the ring, I think. And the finish was excellent. Melo ended up, he was trying to like do a little backdrop to Melo, but I think he knew Melo would like backflip out of it and land on his feet, which set him up perfectly for the BFT. He had been trying to go for the BFT for a long time. The BFT finishes it off. Great sell job by Melo. And then Andrade walks up to Melo sitting on the outside and says, hey, put the fries in the bag, bro. And then he leaves. Melo goes to Aldis an hour and a half later. And it's like, hey, I just got done with my match an hour and a half ago. I beat AJ fair and square, kind of. Why is Andrade allowed to be at ringside distracting me over and over again? Aldis says, hey, how about this? It's 3-3 between you and Andrade. How about you, the two of you, have a match? And the winner of that gets a title match against LA Knight for the U.S. title. And Amelo's like, man, I don't want to have to work for anything, and then leaves. And then Santos comes up and says, hey, I noticed that Andrade and Melo are basically just entrenched at the top of your contender list. And he's like, what gives? And like, well, Santos, you had a title match months ago and you lost. So I think that disqualifies you from having another title match. It doesn't. And I'll explain exactly how later tonight, with the angriest I'll be about this particular episode. So Beast Mordos is here, by the way, and Roderick Strong is on commentary, which means I got to listen because he's turning babyface. So we're going to get LFI versus United Undisputed Kingdom. Because he wants Beast Mordos back with him. Anyway, what was I saying? Right. He says, hey, I want a specific... I don't want a title match for me. I want a title match for... I want a title contention for Los Garza. He says, well, actually, I have a perfect hand-picked tag team for you guys to face next week. And it's obviously MCMG. He says, oh, great. If he says, if you beat those guys, you'll be right in line for a tag team title match. Spoiler alert, they won't beat those guys. It's fine. So there's that. Hey, there's a women's title match that doesn't need to happen. Women's tag titles. It's Bianca and Jade versus, they have a nice little video package for Lash and Jakara Jackson. And they say, we've been handling our business in NXT. And to that, I would say, kind of. Because you had a tag title match for the titles back when the Unholy Union held the tag titles. You had a title match, and you lost. But I am to hear, I am to understand from Nick Aldis that if you have a title match and you lose it, well, then you've got to go to the back of the line. So they did have a tag title match about the same time that Santos lost his title match to LA Knight. So wouldn't that mean that Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend shouldn't have a title match now? You're right. It should mean that they shouldn't have a title match now. You know when the last time they had a win as a team? Late July. It's now mid-October. Do you know when the last time they had a match that they won as a team before late July? March 26th. And if you're like, hey, I have a pretty good memory of what days of the week all the dates fall on, wouldn't March 26th not even be a Tuesday? And you'd be right, because the match they won on March 26th was on fucking Level Up. They've had two goddamn wins as a tag team in the goddamn year 2024. Or at least in the last 7 months of 2024. I didn't go back even further in 2024, because why would I? I already proved my point. There's no reason for Lash Legend Jakara Jackson to have a fucking title match unless you build them up with a series of victories. Otherwise, they're just handing out fucking tag title matches for no fucking reason. And this one, by the end of it, it looks like they're going to get some other fucking rematch, because we already know for a fact from the Raw spoilers that they were at ringside for Bianca and Jade versus Damage Katarl on fucking Raw. So this fucking thing continues. They lost tonight in 3 goddamn minutes. Yes, they deserve another fucking title shot. Of course they do. Because wins fucking don't matter. Nothing fucking matters. But nothing matters less than wins and losses. And I'm fucking sick of it. By the way, Beast Mordos and the Butcher are having a fantastic match so far. Problem with all of this, though, separate from the fact that they shouldn't have had a title match tonight, once you've given them the title match and advertised it ahead of time and given them a vignette to lead up to the match, what you don't have is you don't have an infinitely more important storyline interrupt them when they could be interrupting anything. Kevin Owens runs out during their entrance and says, hey, ladies, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. He said he was sorry so many times. I think that was a Kevin Owens thing, because he knows it looks really bad for him to interrupt a women's title match. But he just couldn't wait any longer, I guess. But he does apologize for it a bunch of times. He says, I've been banned from the building and suspended and fined for me. Turning on Cody Rhodes. He turned on me. His mic is cut in the ring, so he goes and takes the headset from Corey Graves and is talking like, he turned on me. He turned on everybody when he decided to work with the Bloodline. And Kevin Owens has a fucking point, because Kevin Owens always has a fucking point. You should never interrupt the women's entrance for their title match. You just don't need to do that, though. Spooko, this, like, you, Black Wrestling Twitter so praising this match graphic. Give Lash, I think Lash and Jakara are talented. They need to have wins against other people. The last match they had was a title loss. They haven't won any fucking matches between losing a title match to another team and now losing a title match to this team. Why won't you put them in matches that they win? Why? Wins and losses should fucking matter. Wins and losses are the anti-matter. The nothing matters less than wins and losses, and I am fucking sick of it. I want them to have tag matches that they win before they get a tag title match. When you do that, I will praise this, all of this decision, to the high fucking heavens. Because guess what? Do I want to see a battle of strength between Lash Legend and Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair? You bet I fucking do. But I want the match to fucking matter. I want the wins, the losses to fucking matter. And they don't. And I'm fucking sick of it. Imagine Metaphor versus Queendom with a great-ass story. Wouldn't that be great? But we're not allowed to have that. We just have Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend confront Bianca and Jade backstage at NXT just because. Not coming off of victory. Not coming off of, God forbid, 3 or 4 victories in a row. Coming off a loss. Coming off a loss. Like, it's just Jesus, man. Also, yes, whenever you do a vignette, you have to show Lash body slamming Otis. It's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Just, you have to show it. Why not show it? During the match that eventually happens. Oh, wait, no, I can't fix. Sorry. I got distracted. Cody Rhodes comes out taking off his suit jacket and rolling up his sleeves because Hedge Fund Man is pissed now. When he's coming down to the ring, security gets in the way. Kevin Owens like, no, let him in the ring. Let's have our fight. And Randy Orton gets in there and tries to grab Orton from behind. And Orton tries to grab Owens from behind. Owens throws an elbow. It clocks Randy in the face, so Randy spins Owens around and punches him in the mouth. They finally get Kevin Owens out of there. Cody Rhodes is really pissed, and Randy's like, get on your bus and leave. I will talk to Kevin Owens because I, Randy Orton, am widely known to be the voice of reason and calm, understanding logic. Nick Aldis says something to Cody Rhodes that has me very, very concerned. He says, you, in 3 weeks, you have your match at Crown Jewel against Gunther for the first ever Crown Jewel Championship. And I really need you to win that match. Nick Aldis says this to Cody Rhodes. A flying headbutt to a standing butcher wins the match for Beast Mortos. Catch that match if you can. Beast Mortos is amazing, and Butcher did a really good job. Why does Nick Aldis give a damn? Give a single flying fuck about whether or not Cody Rhodes pins Gunther? What does Nick Aldis stand to gain from that? If the answer is anything, you should fucking tell us what that is. You need to tell us what that is. What is the thing that Nick Aldis stands to gain? Because if it's bragging rights for brand supremacy, I'm going to jump off a fucking roof. We finally got rid of brand supremacy. If it comes back via Crown Jewel, I'm going to fucking lose it. Does Aldis have money on this thing? I don't know. He might. So Harley's cutting a fun little promo on Anna Jay, I think. Harley's very fun. I don't understand what any of this means. Lance Archer's gonna murder some guy. The match, the women's tag title match, lasts 3 minutes. Chelsea and Piper are at ringside. Chelsea Green, apparently, a week later, still stinks of garbage. She's obviously taken several showers since then, washed her hair multiple times. She's wearing a different outfit. There's no fucking way she still stinks. But according to WWE, she smells so bad that when she is knocked over the announce table by Lash Legend, she lands in Michael Cole's lap and he begins to retch. He begins to dry heave because of how stinky Chelsea Green is. This is the fucking program they have for Chelsea Green, who's one of the most talented women or men they have on the entire payroll. Chelsea Stinky, LOL, is her whole fucking persona right now, and I'm fucking sick of it! This is one of the most frustrating episodes of SmackDown. It really, really is. Anyway, Bianca and Jade win clean in 3 minutes. So, of course, when they defend the titles against Damage Katarl on Monday in a match that's already taped, of course, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson should be there because they think they deserve a fucking rematch after losing clean in 3 goddamn minutes. After winning 2 goddamn matches since fucking Easter! Nia and Tiffany show up, and Nia is like, Bailey, you did a good job, but I still beat you. And Tiffany is going to beat up Liv Morgan because she's a little girl and I'm the women's champion. Lance Archer hits the blackout on some poor fella and looks like the Outrunner's kid brother. And so Lance Archer wins because, of course, he does. Nia says that she's going to beat up the hell out of Liv Morgan at Crown Jewel. And that's when Tiffany's going to cash in on Liv Morgan, right? Oh, cool. Jake Roberts with LFI. No, Jake Roberts never cared about rules, which is why he likes Realistico. Look at that fucking mask. I'm scared right sitting right here. Matadors, maybe. Maybe ninjas. Who knows? Listen, low-key, that 2 out of 3 falls match between Beast Mortos and Hologram is going to be fucking awesome. That's going to be second or third best match on the card. It's going to be so fucking good. Beast Mortos versus Hologram, 2 out of 3 falls on WrestleDream tomorrow night. Jesus. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. So Naomi interrupts and says, the only reason you beat Bayley is because your little friend there interfered. You can't win any matches without her helping you. I pinned her last week, and I pinned you last week too. Well, actually, says Nia, you didn't pin me. It took you and a friend to pin me at the same time. So unless you're planning on going and finding somebody to tag team with to beat me in a handicap match, why don't you get the hell out of here? And Naomi's like, I could beat you right now. And Nia's like, give me a referee because I'm going to prove that you can't. And then Corey Graves says, we might have an impromptu championship match on our hands. But Naomi never challenged for the title. And Nia said, I will put my title on the line in this match. Neither woman said that. So Corey Graves telling tales out of school got everybody confused in the SGS Discord. But then Liv Morgan shows up. Well, Raquel comes out first. And there's a new, like, a weird fucking ransom note type of font in a graphic for Liv Morgan that says, cry about it. But it has a comma after the T in about. So it says, cry about it. Cry about what? Don't talk to Cousin It like that. Why the fuck is there a comma after about? That doesn't make any fucking sense. They're like, ha ha, I'm the Morgan, and I talk like this. Ha ha ha. We're just gonna sit here and watch you lose your match to Naomi. And then Nia Jax fucking does lose her match to Naomi. Listen, I like Naomi. What the fuck are we... Is Naomi going to become the new champion and face Liv? Okay, good. Yes? Right? Good. That's good. Is Naomi going to pin Nia Jax and then Naomi faces Liv? We don't want to see Nia versus Liv at Crown Jewel, right? I won't watch it because I don't watch that fucking Blood Money shit. But the people who do watch that shit, nobody actually wants to watch Nia versus Liv, right? So I guess Naomi versus Liv is preferable to that. If Naomi's not actually going to beat Nia for the title and face Liv for the Crown Jewel Hideous belt at fucking Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, or Jeddah, or wherever the fuck it is this year, then why have Naomi pin Nia? And the only reason that she did is because Tiffany tried to hit Naomi with the belt, with the briefcase, but Raquel stole it from Tiffany, making Tiffany look fucking weak and fucking awful. And this is, they're doing the fucking thing with at least with the fucking women who would get the fucking briefcase and then they would fucking cash it in that goddamn night. They didn't have months holding the briefcase with the fucking bookers who get to be like, well, you know, if the guy's got the briefcase, then he can stand to take a few losses because just having the briefcase protects him. So between the time when he wins the fucking ladder match and becomes Mr. Money in the Bank and the time when he fucking cashes in, he has a win percentage of like 0.200. That's fucking terrible. Don't do that. Anna Jay's cutting a promo about her butt. I'm angry. So here we go. It's the main event. It's Rocky Romero. I'm sure Chris Jericho will be on commentary for Brian Keith versus Rocky Romero, so I have it muted. Nia's been pinned 2 times. Oh, but I forgot. Last week, Bayley called on SmackDown, Bayley called her the most dominant women's champion of all time. Been pinned twice. None of this makes fucking sense. As Liv and Raquel are leaving, they're standing at the top of the ramp with Dominic, and in comes Rhea Ripley, who like takes out Raquel like it's no problem at all, and then chases Liv into the ring, where Liv meets up with Nia Jax, who tries to strangle her. Rhea gets into the ring and does a pump kick to Nia, and then tries to take out Liv, but then Dom tries to get in the match, and instead of Rhea keeping her focus on Liv Morgan, she decides to give her focus to Dom Mysterio, which allows Liv to escape. So we know the main event of Raw next week is going to be Rhea and Tiffany Stratton versus Liv and Raquel. And I guess now we know how we got there in the dumbest fucking way possible. Jericho isn't out there. Oh, that's good. I'm glad Jericho's not out there. Wonderful. Maybe now I can unmute my fucking thing. Backstage. Street Profits and DIY are screaming at each other, yelling. They're just saying words very loudly at one another in front of Nick Aldis, who gets him to stop talking so loud for long enough so that he can say, listen, guys, that ladder match last week was amazing, but I'm afraid that was your opportunity. And I've got a new tag team coming in next week. You guys have got to go back down the card. But like, Melo and Andrade aren't going back down the card. Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson aren't going back down the card. Why did DIY and Street Profits have to go back down the card? At least be fucking consistent, Nicholas Aldis. All of this is making me fucking pissed. So Aldis notices something happening, a commotion happening over to his left, while the other guys are still yelling at each other. Now, they were yelling at each other for a long time. I'm guessing KO and Randy didn't hit their mark on time. So he had to wait to break through the other guys because they were just vamping. Four guys yelling at each other like that. No words were intelligible. And finally, Aldis gets over and walks over. And remember how Randy Orton said, I'm going to go talk to KO. I'm going to smooth things out. We never got to see that happen. Nick Aldis runs over and the cameraman follows him. And it's Kevin Owens stomping the bejesus out of Randy Orton in the parking lot. Don't show me that. Like, you got to show me how it got to that point. Did Randy walk up to Kevin Owens and Kevin just started swinging? Did Randy and Kevin Owens have a heated discussion that started a shoving match? Best of all, the best option, was Kevin Owens sitting there trying to cool off outside the ring, outside in the parking lot, and Randy Owens came up to him and very calmly explained why Kevin was in the wrong. And Kevin took that in for a bit and tried to explain to Randy why Randy should think that what Cody did was a horrible betrayal because Randy hates Roman just as much as Kevin does. And then Randy says, yeah, but I just don't think, I mean, there's a really cool way to build drama between the two of them where they're both fucking human beings and they hash it out and eventually somebody says the wrong thing. Kevin, man, you got to get over this. How many shots did you have against Roman? 4, 5? You lost every match. Maybe it's time to realize, dude, that just ain't you anymore. And obviously, if Randy said that to Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens would fucking throw a punch at him. Like, there's something there. But you skip all of that. I have no idea why Kevin Owens is now stomping out his former friend and tag team partner. R.I.P. R.K.O.K.O. But I didn't even get to see how it died. You just showed me its fucking corpse on the asphalt. Show me how RKOKO died. I want to see it. It's the most dramatic thing you can do. Don't show me the least dramatic thing. That sucks. So Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso had a match. Solo Sikoa has no shot at beating anybody important if he can't beat Jimmy Uso. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really like Solo Sikoa. He's a really good wrestler. Of all the fucking people, you have Solo Sikoa wrestle against one guy that he should be able to beat without his fucking lackeys helping him is Jimmy fucking Uso. The lesser of the Usos. Come on, man. I'm not saying it's got to be a squash, but he should be able to pin Jimmy Uso without Jacob Fatu having to crotch Jimmy Uso on the top rope with the ref's back turned. Come on, man. You're trying to tell me, you, WWE, you're trying to tell me Solo Sikoa is a threat. He's dangerous. Look out for that Solo Sikoa. He's an up-and-comer. He's going to be a world champ one day. And yet you still continue to book him to be fucking dog shit in the ring when I know he's better than that. And win all of his goddamn matches via interference. Come on, you gotta be better than that. I mean, obviously you don't, because the fucking rubes fill your fucking arenas every goddamn week. You set records charging astronomical fucking fees to get into your fucking buildings, and the fucking rubes pay it anyway and get you like, oh, this sets a record for the biggest gate ever. I guess we can increase our ticket prices another $10 and the fucking rubes will pay them so we can say we made more money during this event than we've ever made before. So you know what? Fuck me then. All I want is for wrestling to be better, for the storytelling to be better, for the characters to be motivated properly. All I've ever wanted is for wrestling to be the best it possibly can. And you guys said we're going to top out at about a 6 out of 10, and we're rarely going to hit that. And that's all we ever want to do. We don't want to reach those stratospheric heights. And so I don't think wrestling is for me anymore. And that's why tonight is so frustrating. I just don't think wrestling is for me anymore. It feels like an abusive relationship where I give it all of my love. I am willing to fight for it, for our relationship, mine, wrestling, to be good again. And it's not. And I don't think it ever is going to be. I'm not quitting.
but I've lost all hope that that wrestling is ever going to be for me. Because as long as AEW still has giant fucking holes and missteps, that they're the heights of AEW, to me, in my opinion, are so much higher than the heights of WWE. And they are, in my opinion, more frequent. But there's some shit that they do in AEW that is unconscionable. One of those things is keeping Chris Jericho on my fucking TV. Until that is done, until they fucking figure out how to use people properly, how to make storylines make sense, then I just don't even know. There was a pretty amazing top rope sliced bread that Rocky Romero hit on Brian Keith, but Brian Keith rolled out of the ring. If you were like, yeah, well, I mean, this match between Rocky Romero and Brian Keith is going to be awesome. I have news for you. You were right. Doesn't change the fact that I think the learning tree is one of the worst gimmicks I've ever seen in wrestling, and I hate it. And I think Brian Keith could be doing something as good on television without being attached to fucking Chris Jericho. Oh, no. Big Bill with his green boots just kicked Rocky Romero's face in. And now Brian Keith is going to pin Rocky Romero. That's a big win for Brian Keith. That's a big win for Brian Keith. Big Bill is a top three big man in the world. I believe that. He's a top. If you consider all the things he can do, he's a top three big man in the world. And he's fucking Chris Jericho's lackey. I'm a big fan of Brian Keith too. I think he can go. I think he's a lot of fun. I think he's charismatic as hell. Neither of those guys need Chris Jericho weighing them down. You know what I want? I'm not going to get it, but you know what I want? Big Bill in the C2. Let's get Big Bill in the C2. That's what I want. Yes, you're right, Spooko. Big Bill would be a better ROH champ than Jericho. He fucking would. He'd be a way better ROH champ than Jericho. And I honestly still cannot believe they didn't do this. I still cannot believe they did not announce Camille versus Chris Statlander. And if Chris Statlander can beat Camille, then she gets a title match versus Mercedes. You know, like, you could do that. You could easily do that. But they didn't do that. And that makes me very sad. Like, why, like, this is one of those things, like, the women's division is still great. And they're having really cool storylines. But they're, you build to women's, like, you build to... Is Mercedes injured? She's had a match versus Emi Sakura. What are we doing? It could be a fucking pre-show match. One women's match on a pay-per-view in AEW now is not allowed. That's not fucking allowed. It's just not. You got to be better than that. AEW, you got to be better than that. But sadly, they're not. Everything sucks.